From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. President Obama says the country has waited long enough to fix its costly health care system, and he's lobbying for public support, including at a rally at George Mason University outside Washington, D.C. NPR's Scott Horsley reports it's a critical time for the White House because the House is slated to vote on sweeping health care legislation within days.
President Obama calls this weekend's House vote the culmination of a health care debate that's gone on not only for the last year, but for much of the last century. He said presidents since Teddy Roosevelt have advocated an expansion of health care coverage. Congress is now within sight of such a move if the president and his supporters can persuade a majority of House members to vote for it.
So the only question left is this: are we going to let the special interests win once again? Or are we going to make this vote a victory for the American people?
Mr. Obama acknowledged that expanding coverage would cost money, but stressed the overhaul would be paid for and would actually reduce the federal deficit by more than $1 trillion over the next two decades. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Fairfax, Virginia.
Israel is under more global pressure to stop building homes in East Jerusalem and get back to peace negotiations with the Palestinians. Today, the quartet of Middle East peace mediators, including the U.S., EU, United Nations, and Russia, warned that any expansion in occupied territories could hurt the chances for Israel and the Palestinians to restart indirect talks. Israel's expansion announcement last week coincided with Vice President Joe Biden's goodwill trip to the region and ignited criticism, including from Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Clinton was also in Moscow to forge a new nuclear arms reduction deal with Russia. She says both governments are on the brink of an agreement. But Clinton expressed concern over Russia's decision to start an Iran reactor within months, with Tehran's nuclear program still under suspicion. As NPR's David Green reports, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov says he's not as worried as the U.S. about Iran's nuclear ambitions.
Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov pointed to the United Nations nuclear watchdog and said the agency's reports on Iran don't give reason for alarm. But he said through an interpreter, that doesn't mean Russia's satisfied with Iran's behavior.
But that does not mean that we're satisfied with the Iranian actions. What we see is that they are letting the opportunity to establish normal, respectful, mutually beneficial dialogue with the international community slip away.
Sanctions, Lavrov said, sometimes can't be avoided. He added, though, that sanctions on Iran can't be aggressive. They can't paralyze the Iranian people, he said. Lavrov was standing beside Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. His comments seemed to fall short of the support for tough sanctions the U.S. is seeking. Still, Clinton insisted the U.S. is pulling together the world to exert pressure on the Iranian regime.
This is NPR. Toyota has been launching a full-court press to try to get customers back into its showrooms and buying cars. As NPR's Chris Arnold tells us, according to the latest data, Toyota's efforts appear to be working.
Many people have been nervous about Toyota's acceleration problems, but apparently not that nervous. In March, Toyota's gotten much more aggressive with cheap lease deals and 0% financing, and that's sending the company's sales up sharply. Jessica Caldwell is an analyst with Edmunds.com, which tracks the industry.
Obviously, money talks, right? I mean, because as soon as they announced their incentive, we saw people go to the dealerships, we saw people go onto our site.
Caldwell says with other car makers starting to respond with their own incentives, it turns out the Toyota safety concerns are actually sparking a little boom in car buying at the moment. Chris Arnold, NPR News.
British Airways could be entrenched in a strike within hours. Labor contract talks between the cabin crew and management have collapsed. Even though British Airways says it plans to fly tomorrow, passengers can expect disruptions. The airline says it's planning enough flights for 65% of its travelers. This walkout is the first in a series a union plans to stage if there's still no deal. Workers are fighting for better pay and working conditions. The U.S., a lot of people living in Fargo and neighboring Moorhead, Minnesota, may be a little tense heading into the weekend. The Red River is expected to crest on Sunday. Some of the area's farmland is already heavily flooded. At last check on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was down 52 points at 10,727. NASDAQ down more than 20 at 2,371. I'm Lakshmi Singh, NPR News, Washington.